Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.
Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster, and welcome to another amazing show on the Heal It Show. Today, we're talking about healing it with the right nutrition. We're also going to be dispelling some myths around sugars, around polysaccharides, around issues that, there's a lot of misinformation out on the internet. And today, we're here with Dr. To really tell you truth, right? Truth versus fiction. So, why is that important? Well, is your health important? I would hope you're saying yes. And, this show is really dedicated to you, to be able to help you to have vitality, have life force, have energy well into your 80s and 90s, 100s, if you so choose. But is that possible for you? Well, it is, as long as you're ready to step into a little courage and learn some things that maybe you haven't learned before about health and nutrition. So, got a great show today. And in this episode, we have Dr. John E. Lewis, is a renowned nutritionist, scientist, entrepreneur, and the founder of the John Lewis Nutrition. He's going to share his groundbreaking insights with us. So, take a break. And then when we come back, he'll be right there with us. All righty. Welcome back, everybody. This is Kendi Foster along with John E. Lewis. He's a PhD. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ken. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, you've got a lot of credentials. I'd like my audience to get to know you a little bit. For those of you that don't know him, he's the president of the Dr. Lewis Nutrition and past a full-time associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences, and now voluntary associate professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine. He is also a diplomat, faculty member, and advisor of the Medical Wellness Association. He has been the principal investigator of over 30 different studies in his research career. During that time, he either directly raised or indirectly supported raising $23 million in grants, gifts, and contracts for research studies and clinical trials and educational programs for medical students. Much of his research is focused on evaluating the effects of nutrition, dietary supplementation, and exercise and various aspects of human health and disease. John, it's really a pleasure to have you. And, before in the green room, we were talking about polysaccharides and, your research around that. But before I get to that, how come you got interested in health and nutrition and dietary supplementation?
This, I would say, goes all the way back to my post-high school, beginning undergraduate college days of getting interested in drug-free competitive bodybuilding. And like most Americans, prior to getting into bodybuilding, I ate for taste, right? Like, then that's why we have all of these epidemics of chronic disease today, because the average American is eating for taste, not for health. But even though I didn't last too long in my bodybuilding pursuit, I did that for a few years. But I realized pretty quickly a couple of things. One, I was never going to make a living at it. Two, I was not willing to take the drugs that, you know, a lot of these guys do. And three, most importantly, it created a different approach or view of food, if you will. I started looking at food as something for a very specific effect for performance. Bodybuilding is not really a sport. It's more of an art form to me, but still it is a measure of performance in terms of what you're trying to achieve with symmetry, with body fat composition, with your muscularity, all these different factors that go into bodybuilding. So for me, that was a real strong shift because I, up until that point, I just ate when I was hungry and I ate what I wanted to eat that tasted good to me based on how I grew up in my family. So it was very important that I acknowledge my brief short period of time in competitive bodybuilding because it really was truly a shift for me. And then once I got out of competitive bodybuilding, I still train as a bodybuilder, even though I don't compete on a stage anymore. But I then took a next step in my evolution and went from looking at it more from like a performance perspective to more of a health perspective. And that's really where I've been for the last, gosh, it's hard to believe, over 30 years now.
Wow. Well, you know, I know when I was, you know, out, you know, go to the gyms, I see all the, you know, the bodybuilding formulas that they're trying to sell everybody. And, you know, and quite frankly, I've never put any of that in my body because I was smart enough to read the labels and do the research. You know, it's very easy to do that now. You just take ChatGPT with you, take a picture of it, and it'll chat'll show you what the downside of some of these chemicals are putting in this stuff. You know, so what led you then to the research career in academics?
Well, as I was going through my training, I didn't really plan on becoming a professor or a scientist at a university. It just kind of happened. I really was a bit of, and I still am a bit of a chameleon in terms of meeting people and hearing their story, hearing their journey, and then incorporating things into my life that I find interesting or rewarding. But as I got into my research career, where I took really the next big step was meeting two individuals who had very significant stories about polysaccharides in their lives. One, Dr. Reg McDaniel from the aloe vera side, and two, a patient at our cancer center at the University of Miami, Barbara Kimley, talking about polysaccharides from rice bran. And up to that point, I really had no clue what they were talking about, quite frankly. My experience with polysaccharides or saccharides in general would have just been from taking biochemistry class and learning about saccharides as fuel source for the cells. But beyond that, I had
running 15 minutes behind.
And so it was really meeting these two individuals that took me on a journey to where I am today, almost 20 years ago now, of meeting Dr. McDaniel and Barbara and just completely changing not just my career, but my life in terms of my appreciation for these complex sugars and what they can do for literally every person. But the research that we've conducted that I'll hopefully have a moment to share with you today is just so profound, and it's just potentially so beneficial for every person who will listen to my story, if you will.
Well, first of all, yeah, I want to take a little a course for my audience in polysaccharides. What are they? What do they do? And, you know, how do they impact our body?
Well, when you think of, let's back up from even that. Let's talk about the word sugar, because one of the things that I also like to do is tear down this myth around this statement that a lot of talking heads are saying today and have been for 50 years, all sugar is bad for you. That's not true. That is a factually incorrect statement. There are four types of sugars, Ken. There are monosaccharides, mono one saccharide, one molecule of sugar like high fructose corn syrup. Then you have disaccharides like sucrose, table sugar, two molecules of sugar. Then you have oligosaccharides. Those are about 8 to 10 molecules of sugar, though most commonly you would an oligosaccharide would be something like breast milk. And then finally, you have polysaccharides, poly-many. These are literally thousands of glucose units attached together by these very sophisticated bonds. And they are the most enormous, the most complex, the most sophisticated things that we will ever put into our system. Way more sophisticated than amino acids or fatty acids, certainly vitamins or minerals. And as I mentioned, the ones that my colleagues and I have studied now for over two decades, the aloe vera and rice bran, are like nothing else that Mother Nature provides for us for a healing effect. But yet, guess what? At the end of the day, they are still sugars. They are complex sugars. And so I just want people to be mindful of the fact that all sugars are not created equally. And anytime you hear some so-called experts saying all sugar is bad for you, I would love for people to call those people out and say, hey, guess what? You're not correct. These are actually, these are statements that are being made that are just erroneous, misleading people, and creating all kinds of confusion for the average person.
So polysaccharides, I heard avocado or aloe vera. Where did they come from?
So aloe vera and rice bran are the two that my colleagues and I have spent all of these years studying. And again, I would put those two plants, that what they provide for us, up against anything else in Mother Nature for a healing benefit or a healing effect. The only other thing that, in my opinion, comes close is curcumin. Of course, curcumin is the active ingredient from the turmeric root, which also has incredible healing benefit. But when you look at not just our research from the University of Miami, looking at research from scientists around the world, institutions around the world, looking at how aloe vera and rice bran polysaccharides are so beneficial, it is mind-blowing, and yet the average person has no clue about it. And that's why I'm so excited to be here today with you to share with you and your audience what these polysaccharides can do for us, because they're way more than just a source of fuel for our cells. They do so much more than that, and we've documented all of this in many of the publications that we've been working on all of these years now.
Wow. All right, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to know what they do. I want to know how to ingest them, and I want to know, I bet my audience wants to know too. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you may not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here talking with John Lewis, and we're talking about polysaccharides right now. And John, a little bit about what they do.
So most of the time when I talk about polysaccharides from aloe vera, what's the first thing that you might think of, or anybody else out there, when they hear aloe vera? You think of a sunburn, right? You think of using the gel on a sunburn or a cut or a wound, something topical. That's a fine use of that gel. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. However, the gel is 99% water. So, and aloe vera doesn't just contain polysaccharides. It contains lots of different nutrients. But have you ever wondered, well, why did my grandmother tell me to put aloe vera gel on a sunburn? Did you think about, well, what is it in that plant that's actually helping my skin heal itself? In my opinion, this is a bit of an opinionated statement, it's the polysaccharides, because of their uniqueness and how special they are compared to all these other things, because you can get all of those other amino acids and fatty acids and vitamins and minerals from lots of other different plants, but you cannot get this particular polysaccharide from anything else besides aloe vera. So what, in addition to the wound healing effect that's, again, been well known for millennia probably, what we've shown over the last 20 years, again, Ken, is phenomenal. So, for example, in our Alzheimer's study, we used this formula that was an aloe vera base, polysaccharide base, had some other things in it as well, but the key ingredient was really these polysaccharides. We showed clinically and statistically significant improvement in cognitive function in people with moderate to severe Alzheimer's disease. That's unheard of. That literally is unheard of. You cannot find any other clinical trial in the scientific literature that shows that type of an effect in people with moderate to severe Alzheimer's disease. We showed an improvement in the overall functioning of the immune system according to the CD4 to CD8 ratio. Our CD4 cells are our helper cells. Our CD8 cells are our cytotoxic cells. That ratio is very important for all of us, not just for people with Alzheimer's disease. We showed reductions in inflammation according to TNF-alpha and VEGF, vascular endothelial growth factor. Now, these proteins are commonly looked at in heart disease and cancer. Our paper was probably the first one that showed this kind of an effect in people with Alzheimer's disease. And as you know, I'm sure all your listeners know, you can't talk about any kind of chronic disease today without mentioning the role of chronic inflammation. So that's very important. And then finally, in that first of four papers we published from this study, we showed just under a 300% increase in the adult stem cell production process according to CD14 cells. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention these people on average were 79.9 years of age.
Wow.
To be able to turn on your adult stem cell production process. I mean, we hear about using stem cells for, you know, different kinds of cardiac conditions or musculoskeletal conditions where it's a very sophisticated process. You draw blood out, you spin it, you do things to it, and then you inject it back in your body. This is turning on the body's own inherent processes. It has nothing to do with taking a needle and, you know, doing things invasive. This is providing these materials that the body, the genes recognize, and they say, wow, all of this information is exactly what I need to instruct the cells in how to function as they're supposed to, and then try to return to homeostasis, which is really what healing is all about. So, Ken, all of these effects that we published in that first paper were like nothing else in the scientific literature. You can look at any kind of diet, any other dietary supplement, exercise, hyperbaric oxygen, red light therapy, acupuncture, homeopathy, cognitive behavioral therapy, you name it. There's no other clinical trial that shows what we've showed in our study in people with moderate to severe Alzheimer's disease, all due to these polysaccharides in our formula that we now call Daily Brain Care.
Well, I love that. A lot of people are in need of a product like this that actually helps them. So I'm glad we're here talking about this. What are the downsides to this, Dr. John?
So with nutrition, you know, we think of a lot of times, unfortunately, nutrition, dietary supplements, it kind of gets roped into or segued into the pharmacological model where we all know that any kind of drug, whether it's an over-the-counter or a prescription, has a side effect, at least one and usually many. It can't be even labeled as a drug unless it's got documented side effects. That's part of the toxicity profile that has to be established. With nutrition, the only downside would be an extremely rare allergy or sensitivity to either the polysaccharides or one of the other nutrients in the formula. It's 100% natural, totally plant-based. There's no other than that. I mean, and those are few and far between. I mean, again, we've been, my colleagues and I, Dr. McDaniel and others involved, have been doing this for so long now. There's literally almost no downside to this. You can take its nutrition with any kind of medication. You can take it with any other dietary supplement. There is no downside. In fact, we would say that there is the white box effect where you have drugs that have a black box, meaning that it's got this long list of adverse effects. With nutrition, you talk about a white box effect, particularly with these polysaccharides, because there are potentially unknown benefits that we haven't even documented that are just literally could be for anything, for anybody, depending on what his or her health status or other characteristic is.
Why did you choose the aloe vera and the, what's the other one?
The rice bran.
Why did you choose that specifically?
So this was simply due to the experiences of Dr. McDaniel and Barbara Kimley and just how profoundly they were telling me about their experiences and all the different healing benefits and effects that they had discovered in their lives. And it was just so compelling to me that I just knew this was something that I had to explore myself. And so that it was really due to these two people. I mean, again, I give these two folks so much credit in terms of not just changing my career, but my entire life.
Yeah. If somebody's healthy and vital and whatever, would you still recommend putting this in taking this product or no?
Oh, absolutely. I have been taking this formula for over a decade. I've had my mother on it for about 12, 13 years. I started my children when they were about 6 months of age. My wife took it when she was pregnant with both of them and still on it. So this is for everybody. I mean, it's like we are so subjected to all of this pollution, all this toxicity, radiation, anything that you can think of in the environment going on that's kind of tamping us down, knocking us down from all these different negative angles. And so to me, when you look at these polysaccharides in our formula and how you can add them to your toolbox for a benefit of keeping that inflammation under control, keeping oxidation under control, boosting your immune system, boosting your adult stem cell production. I mean, these are just a few of the things. I haven't even talked about the entire spectrum of all the different effects that we've published. So putting these nutrients, these polysaccharides into your toolbox of tools to help you stay healthy, why in the world would you not do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, does this product impact glucose, or, you know, how does it sit in the biome, in the gut, you know? I'm curious.
That's a great question as well. So per dose, so a daily Brain Care dose is about 2.5 grams of material. That's not purely carbohydrate. It's got a little bit of fatty acid, a little bit of amino acid in it, but it's predominantly carbohydrate. So in that 2.5 grams, you're talking maybe 10 calories. So for somebody who's, you know, into this whole ketosis movement, 10 calories of anything is not going to throw you out of ketosis. You don't have to have any concerns about, you know, if you're a type 2 diabetic, is it going to elevate your glucose? Is it going to do things to your insulin? If anything, it's going to help all of these things work better. Because remember, Ken, it's not, even though we call the product Daily Brain Care, it's not just about the brain and the central nervous system. We know through the study of glycobiology for the last 40 years that these polysaccharides are crucial in every single cell in the body. And these polysaccharides are needed. So the mitochondria gets all the publicity about cellular functioning, but you have other organelles that are very important too. So for example, when the endoplasmic reticulum talks to the Golgi and it creates different compounds like cytokines and growth factors that I mentioned a moment ago, or when it communicates with another cell, or when its radar goes off, when it says, hey, wait a minute, we might be getting infected with something, let's do something about it. It needs these polysaccharides in that process. That's literally the bioengineering of life. When we need oxygen as our first nutrient, and then we need all these other things in sequence to be able to allow the cells to do their jobs properly. So this is like cellular engineering, bioengineering 101. I mean, this is as basic as it gets when it comes to needing these different nutrients in these exact amounts and in these different distributions. And so for anybody out there, don't be misled just because it's called Daily Brain Care. You can benefit from this because, again, these nutrients are used by every cell in the body.
That's awesome. That's awesome stuff. Does it stimulate the immune system, the product, or not?
It does, absolutely. As I mentioned just a moment ago, we showed a beautiful effect of enhancing overall immune system functioning according to the CD4 to CD8 ratio. We also showed in our fourth paper from the Alzheimer's study and in our studies from the multiple sclerosis, I'm sorry, in our papers from the multiple sclerosis study, different benefits in the immune system's functioning as well in that study. But there's another concept called the TH1 to TH2 ratio. The TH1 side of your immune system is your pro-inflammatory side. The TH2 side is your anti-inflammatory side. We showed really nice effects in balancing that TH1 to TH2 ratio in the Alzheimer's study, and it was related, as you balanced it, it was related to improved cognitive function. In the MS study, we knocked down infections. Now, I don't know if you and your listeners know this. I didn't know it till we ran the study, but people with MS don't actually die from demyelination of the central nervous system. The leading cause of death in people with MS is actually infections. So we showed over the 12-month period of the folks that had MS, we showed a drastic decrease in their infections. They went from like 7.9 at baseline to 2.5 at 12 months. At the same time, we showed this really dramatic drive of the pro-inflammatory side of the immune system. Again, that TH1 to TH2 ratio over that 12-month period. And that was also related to improved quality of life and functioning in people with multiple sclerosis. So yes, I mean, we've showed across the board wide-ranging benefits to the immune system in response to these polysaccharides. So what I would tell you is that, number one, these polysaccharides are generally speaking functioning like signaling mechanisms for the immune system. And then number two, I want everybody to remember that the immune system is not just our first line of defense against infection. It's actually like the conductor of the symphony orchestra. So if you think of the symphony as all of our other major organ systems and the conductor being the immune system is talking to all the other major organ systems, helping to keep everything in balance, like playing the music properly. And so if your immune system is not working well and talking to all the other major organ systems appropriately and properly, you can't possibly expect your cardiovascular system, your endocrine system, all the others to be functioning properly as well. So that's a very important role, an underappreciated role that most people don't understand that the immune system does.
Hmm. Okay. And is this, you know, are there people that are had adverse effects from taking specifically the product that you guys have created? Did it worsen autoimmune? Did it lower, any kind of vital nutrients what? I'm sure you did the research on that.
So, Ken, I've had a handful of people over, again, almost this last 20-year period who have had what they experienced, a detox effect. So, actually, there's a ultra-terra clay. There's a montmorillonite clay in the formula as well that will very strongly chelate out toxins, arsenic, heavy metals, PCBs, all of this crap that builds up in us over time. And so sometimes that makes people have almost like a diarrhea or a loose stool. And, you know, for some people who are, they're completely unaware of that, they're unaccustomed to that, it's a turnoff, right? But that's been a very rare occurrence. I mean, there's literally, unless you have an allergy or a sensitivity to one of the ingredients, which again, maybe a handful of people have had that over the last couple of decades, but it's so incredibly rare that it's, you know, it's barely even there. I mean, it's a tiny signal, but it's barely there.
Can I go out in my backyard and get my aloe vera and juice it and just drink it? Will I get the same effect, or is what happens with that?
Exactly. So that's a very common question. And again, here we live in Miami. We have aloe vera in our backyard, but I'm not out there, you know, snipping leaves every day, simply due to the fact that, number one, the gel is 99% water. Number two, it's not the greatest taste in the world. So you'd have to drink literally bucket loads of that water to get enough polysaccharide content to have a therapeutic or physiological effect. We've done the hard work for you. We've dehydrated it. We've extracted out the polysaccharides from the other materials. And now we've concentrated into a dose of a few hundred milligrams where you can get that benefit. And it doesn't take that much. That's the beauty of it. I mean, think about taking a 2.5-gram dose, 2 or 4, depending on your health issue. I personally take 4 scoops a day. I take 4 scoops of the powder. We have it in capsules too. But imagine that's taking, you know, 20 calories, if you will, compared to whatever I eat, 2,500, 3,000 calories in my usual day of eating. That's literally, Ken, almost nothing. I mean, that's not even 1% of your total caloric intake over, you know, the day, the 24-hour period. And so there's no reason to drink. I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying to match what we've showed in our research to get the same kind of effect, it's not going to happen. You'd just have to drink too much of that water to get that kind of effect, and it'd probably make you sick before you did that.
Is there an optimum age to start taking this? I mean, you know, do kids have a deficiency in this? Do teenagers, do young adults, you know, middle age? Where are we with that?
I mean, as I mentioned, I started my children on it as soon as they turned 6 months of age, simply because these polysaccharides are so unique. There's nothing else like them in terms of any other food source. So I don't really call it a deficiency. What I refer to it as is like a mechanism to help improve your overall functioning. And so there are tools that we utilize to do that, right? These polysaccharides, curcumin. I mean, there are lots of things that occur in Mother Nature. I wouldn't really call it a deficiency per se. Unfortunately, we'll probably never really define, like, it's not going to be a vitamin or a mineral where you say, oh, you're deficient in that. Like, there's a certain level that you need to make sure you're not deficient in vitamin C or D or magnesium or calcium. I don't think that necessarily will ever occur. But what we do know based on the doses that we use in our research and then anecdotally through helping other people with different health challenges, we know where we can help people with the right dose.
You know, for someone, this is kind of a product you're on the rest of your life. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like breathing good, clean air, drinking good, clean water. Okay. You want to take these things every day because you need your cells need proper nutrition every day to function properly.
Right. But is it my concern would be that, my cells are operating fine without it. Right. And now I add it to it. And now, it's like, well, maybe they're operating good still. But if I were to quit it, then all of a sudden my cells have shut down operating with the way they need to because they're dependent on this. Does that make sense?
Well, the body is very sophisticated, right? It's the most sophisticated machine known to humanity. And so what the body can do is it can take other oligosaccharides, other disaccharides, even other monosaccharides from our diet and reconstruct those saccharides into the kinds of polysaccharides that it wants to use to function properly. It's a very inefficient process, and it's not going to be the same as the ones you get from aloe vera and rice bran, but it will do, some level of the job, if you will. It just won't be the same, but you could certainly look at it that way. I don't think that necessarily you take daily brain care for 10 years and then you quit and then suddenly your cells say, oh man, I can't function anymore. Yeah. But I do think there would be some level of optimization that you'll miss out on.
What did you guys find in the studies with, let's say somebody that already has, brain loss, Alzheimer's, memory loss, Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's of course is a big category, right? A bunch of different diseases, but, memory, let's just talk about memory. Like, let's say they're in their early 80s, maybe they're in their late 70, 80s. What have you found? Have you done some research around that group at all?
Well, again, the group that we studied was people with moderate to severe Alzheimer's disease. And so again, yes, it was the moderate to severe level. That's the group that, big pharma basically has no interest in studying.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's the group. Okay. Very, very good. And so how have you mentioned you take four scoops a day.
Yes.
How do you know how much to take?
Well, we used four scoops per day in the Alzheimer's study, and we got great results, as I mentioned, those clinically and statistically significant effects that I went over with you. I just feel like I'm past middle age. I work very hard. I work out very hard. I've got a lot of demands on me. I'm looking at it like this is my formula. This is my life's work. And I just know, within my own inherent being, within my own soul, if you will, that's the amount that I need every day to help protect me from, down the road, hopefully never getting cancer or heart disease or any of those things that commonly kill Americans. I mean, we don't know, people ask me a lot about prevention. That's kind of the unanswerable question because there's no way to study humans where you enroll them in a study at birth and then you just follow them all the way till they die. I mean, imagine how much money that would take. Imagine how few people would even be willing to commit to that type of research. So the answer of prevention is a very challenging and difficult one. But what we can do is piece together the puzzle with short clinical trials like what my colleagues and I have done for, 6 months to a year, and then take that type of information and correlate it with observational epidemiological research where large numbers of people are followed for years and decades, and then look at what happens in animals and cells and tissues. And when you can put together a picture that makes sense, when you find consistencies, to me, that's really where you can get the most benefit out of nutritional research. It's almost impossible to just look at one type of research and say, okay, that's the answer. You've got to piece together all these different types of research to try to get some consistencies to then make determinations about how you want to apply your life. But I just know for me, this is a dose that feels good to me. I've been on this dose for many years now, like I said, and I don't have any ongoing health issues. I generally am the healthiest guy that I know. And so I'm just going to stick with this dose. I mean, I do, if I feel like I'm coming down with a little cold or something, then I up it. And then that seems to help me recover even faster. But I'm pretty strict with my 4 scoops per day every day.
Okay. And are you supplementing outside of this?
Absolutely. I mean, I take other things as well. I like to do, for example, enzymes with my meals. I feel like dietary enzymes are very important. I take some D3 and K2. I take curcumin. I mentioned curcumin already. I feel like, you know, we as Americans, we don't eat turmeric like or curry like Indians or South Asians do. So why would you not, again, take advantage of the benefits of curcumin if you're not eating curry or turmeric every day? I take creatine. I'm a big fan of creatine. I do 5 to 10 grams of creatine every day, not only for my helping my workouts, but also now it's being shown to have lots of benefits for the brain as well. What else do I take? I take magnesium. I take selenium. You know, I try to be smart about my supplementation. I'm not just taking everything under the sun, but I feel like there are certain things that, you know, maybe you can't fully get from food. And so just supplementing beyond what you get in food can be extremely beneficial. And, you know, why not? If you can afford it, why not do that?
Why not? Yeah. Oh, you and I, you know, I'm either on a great path with you or we'll find out down the road, but almost all those supplements that you're taking there, you know, that's what I do. In fact, I would say almost, I don't think any of them we left out. So yeah. Yeah. I got a wife that's on top of all of this. So, you know, let me, I got to take a quick break. You got time?
Sure.
Okay. Let me take a quick break. We'll be right back. And, I want to know about the 3 biggest myths of nutrition that you've seen in the world today. Maybe we could demystify some of this. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. My guest is Dr. John Lewis, and we are talking about health and nutrition. And speaking of nutrition, what do you think are the biggest myths in nutrition today, Dr. John?
Well, we already talked the sugar myths, so I won't.
Yeah, we did that good.
Yes, we don't need to spend any more time on that one. But, you know, the 2 other myths that I find really kind of sad in a way that are very much related to the most recent dietary guidelines that the government just released last week. Number one, this issue of humans, you know, this carnivore diet is being thrown around a lot over the last few years. You hear carnivore all the time.
Yeah.
To me, that's a total misnomer. Like, no, humans are not carnivores. And you know the easiest way you can determine that? First of all, what is a carnivore? What do we as humans label other species as a carnivore? Well, the easiest ones are, of course, a shark, a killer whale, a lion, a tiger, right? I mean, these are easy carnivores that we would acknowledge only eat other animals. How do they do it? Well, you know, you've probably, like me, watched all kinds of videos over the years of, you know, different National Geographic Channel or Discovery Channel. You see a lion. What does it do? It goes after, you know, some sort of ungulate. And it grabs it either by the back of the neck or the throat, and it strangles it, right? And it kills it. And then, you know, they typically fight or hunt in packs or prides, I'm sorry. And so they start eating it. They don't cook it. They don't process it. They don't send it to a factory and, you know, do things to it, treat it with chemicals. They eat it right then. They start eating it when it's even still alive. I challenge anybody listening to this conversation, go pick up a rabbit, a squirrel, a fish, anything, a bird, anything you can get your hands on. I challenge you to bite it in the throat, strangle it to death, and then start eating it. Humans are not carnivores. This whole idea that humans go on this carnivore diet drives me crazy, Ken.
Well, I like to plus that. If you measure the intestinal tract of a herbivore versus a carnivore, you'll find the carnivore's tract is very, very short. The herbivore's is very long.
Like a tube.
It's like, right. Yeah, carnivores like that because, you know, they have to get that, you know, that meat and stuff in and out, right?
I'm trying.
You know, and herbivores differ. We don't have that. I mean, we could look at our teeth compared to a carnivore. We could look at a lot of different areas. We're just, you know, if you really look at it from a science point of view, we are not carnivores. And wherever that came into being, maybe, you know, back in the day when you're in the dark ages and you had to survive, you had to eat an animal, you had to do what you had to do. But that's it's become a mainstream thing. And, you know, not only is it a challenge for our health because of the way the animals are raised today, most animals, you know, in these
horrible
farms, and, you know, they're just terrible. If you're not, if you're still eating a cow, I'd like, you know, just go to your local dairy out there, right, your local cow farm, and see how they're, you know, they sit on their feces. You know, eventually they scrape the feces out, by the way, and then they take and they throw it in the hay field so that the cows can re-eat their, you know, right. It's pretty nasty stuff. Yeah. Not to mention the pesticides and the way they treated the pesticides, what else, you know, they put a lot of stuff in there, antibiotics that they would get. Yeah. We get all that stuff.
That's right. Yeah. The growth hormones that are given to dairy cows to make them produce more dairy, the RBST.
Yeah.
Recombinant bovine somatotropin. So that's definitely for me a big myth. And the second myth is, you know, these new dietary guidelines are focusing so much on protein. Ken, the average American is already eating tons of protein. We don't have, there's no America. You and I could go into any hospital of our choosing, any inpatient unit. We would not find one person in the hospital due to protein deficiency. It's unheard of in the United States. So why are we now convincing Americans that we need to eat even more protein when you can make very strong arguments that too much protein is already indicative of bone disease, liver disease, heart disease, cancer? I mean, all these different diseases are so strongly driven by too much protein. So why in the world are we now encouraging the people to eat even more protein? It makes no sense.
Doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, when I can get a head of broccoli and, you know, there's enough protein in a broccoli, it's about the same as a red steak, you know. I
mean, right. Exactly.
I don't need to go and pay the expensive prices of the meat now, too. Right. So I get to pay a lot of money to poison myself. I don't know. Something's off about that. So I'm glad we had that conversation. So, well, listen, you know, we put up on the screen a couple times the website that you can go to, and you can they get your product right there at drlewisnutrition.com?
Absolutely. You can see all of our research. We've got testimonial videos, product reviews. I mean, there's a whole host of information on our website and our products. And of course, we're on all the typical social media channels under Dr. Lewis Nutrition as well. And if anybody prefers ordering from Amazon, our products are on Amazon as well.
Very nice. And final thoughts then?
Well, I just appreciate this opportunity to be with you today and share my story and my message. And I hope it's inspirational for people out there. I would just say that please no one leave our conversation and say, Lewis said you can use nutrition to treat disease. I'm not talking about that at all, Ken. I'm talking about using these nutrients, these very special polysaccharides that the body recognizes through its genes to guide the cells and how to function properly, to restore homeostasis, to repair, restore, and heal itself. That's the nutritional model. The pharmacological model says use a drug, use a synthetic chemical to alter physiology to treat a symptom of disease. Totally different paradigm. So I'm not saying we're using daily brain care or nutrients to treat disease at all. It's a completely different approach. But if anybody would like to learn more, please go to our website. You can email us or give us a call if you have more questions, if it's not descriptive enough. But my mission is to touch at least 1 million lives, and that's where I'm going, and that's what I'll do till my last breath. And I'm, again, so grateful for this opportunity to be here with you and your listeners today.
I'm very grateful to have you on the show, Dr. John Lewis, and we appreciate your information, appreciate everything you've helped this audience with. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All righty. Until next time, take care.